Hey folks, this is John. Welcome back to another episode of Talk to Me in the Car, a podcast about all things teaching related and education inspired that I record right here in my vehicle, or at least I used to before coronavirus. Now I don't record in a vehicle, I record at my house, or I record on my walks, or I record in my living room, or on my couch, and I don't do weekly podcasts every Monday, I do daily podcasts every school day, because we need to figure out how to get back to normal after this new normal, whenever this new normal gives way to normal? Question mark? We're talking about that today in our Friday podcast. All this week we've been talking about what does it look like to go back to schools. And on Monday we did the big picture, and then we did like a color-coded stoplight with four different options. On Tuesday we talked about, let's stay home, let's do this remote teaching for a whole year. The next day we talked about this orange-level threat, which is, okay, let's go back in, but with an idea that we're probably going to have to go back out. Yesterday we talked Thursday, about the yellow, which is, okay, we're going to go back in, but we'll do social distancing, and we'll do, like, maybe half classes. And that was, like, our best-case scenario to get them back in the building. And today, like every good movie, it was all a dream. We're right back to school. It's green. Hey, if this is a dream, what can we learn from this dream? And everything's fine. Maybe we go back to school today or tomorrow or in the fall. And we'll talk about all these things today in today's podcast. But first things first, if you like what you're hearing and you want to hear more, all the back episodes are available on your favorite podcasting app. Feel free to like or leave a comment or subscribe. It helps people find this in their little algorithm, which is super cool. And if you want to talk to me about what you're hearing on the podcast, as an instructional coach, I work with teachers in all different areas of the country, all different ages of students, all different levels of experience. So let me know. Let's hit it up on Twitter. I'm on Twitter at MeehanEDU. That's Meehan like my last name and EDU like teaching. I don't pretend to be an expert. I'm just a guy who hangs out and talks about this stuff. So if you want to talk about it with me, I do it like all over the country and I do it all over the place. So I'm just a guy. I happen to have people who talk to me about it a lot. But all I'm doing is taking the sponge and squeezing it, getting more information, and dripping it back out. So I would love to hear your thoughts on what's making sense or what's not making sense for you. Also, I have a website. It's www.adrenalinerush.com. That's adrenaline with an E, like educational adrenaline. Because I'm fired up to teach, and I hope you're fired up to teach. And I would love to talk to you about teaching, what gets you fired up too. I wrote a book called Adrenaline Rush, which is all about game-changing student engagement, inspired by theme parks, mud runs, and escape rooms. If that sounds cool to you, let's talk about that too. That's on my website, and it's available wherever books are sold on the intranets in this day, and old and new normal coming back to life. Now, let's talk about new normals in our schools. Red level was we teach from home. Orange level is we're home for most of the time, but sometimes in school maybe, question mark, but then Corona has its own plans. Yellow is, okay, we're going to go back in school, but we're going to social distance, and then we're going to wear masks, and then we're going to keep this infection rate down, and it'll be okay. And then green, to quote our president, I try to be as apolitical as I can in my teaching and in our public forum, but he said it in public, so I think it's important that we can say that. He said, one day, like magic, it will just disappear. It'll be gone. Wouldn't that be lovely? The churches will be full by Easter. Okay. Let's just pretend I'm going to suspend my disbelief and roll with this. We're back in school. Coronavirus is over, guys. It never happened. We found a miracle cure, and it turns out we're all herd immunity, so we can go back to school tomorrow. Would you? Could you? What would you keep? What would you change? Here's a thought experiment. I think that there was a quote. I probably should do more research for this podcast, but I heard a quote, you know, that said, like, what would you do? What would you try if you knew you couldn't fail? There's a very Walt Disney design aesthetic that goes into this. They call it the blue sky phase when they're designing theme park pieces. New rides, new attractions, new lands, new things to take your money from you. They're like, hey, this is our blue sky phase. Let's just kick around a bunch of ideas. There are no wrong answers here. Pie in the sky. What could it be? Go. And they just let people spin their ideas. And really crazy ideas, some of the best things come. So maybe they can't execute every last element of this crazy idea. But enough of those crazy ideas come together in pieces and parts. And before you know it, you make real changes in big systems. So if you knew that you wouldn't fail, what would your school look like when you went back to it? And this is humbling and this is super cool. In fact, this is why we do the work that we do. If you designed an education system in 2020 or 2021, would it look like the education system that we inherited from 1820, 1821? or 1920 and 1921 or 1720, 1721. We forget, but like I have in my English classroom, American literature classroom, my students read excerpts from Ben Franklin. I realize that's maybe a very dated thing, but like the autobiography of Benjamin Franklin, we're talking about a guy who was born and lived in like 1720, 1721. And there are universal truths that come through with this, but we're teaching those same things 200, 300 years later. You go back to the time of Shakespeare, the 1600s, right? 1620, 1621. We're talking about 400 years old. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with Shakespeare because I have a master's degree in Shakespeare. I love that stuff. Like, I will geek out with you about old, dead literature any day of the week. There are universal themes that Shakespeare is a man both of his time and a man of all time. So yeah, let's talk about all the stuff from the Bard, because to read Hamlet can teach you about the human condition. 100%. To read about Macbeth, it's the original horror movie. To read about Julius Caesar, oh my God. Like, it's House of Cards with all of the sex and drama and political intrigue and the backstage politics, and yeah, sign me up, man. But is it the only way to teach that stuff? Ooh, well, this is interesting. Because on my shelf here, I'm looking at it on my shelf, and there is a copy of The Complete Works of William Shakespeare. The Norton Shakespeare, based on the Oxford edition. Shakespeare, the invention of the human, says Harold Bloom. Harold Bloom, the literary critic who recently just passed, goes as far as to say that Shakespeare teaches us what it means to be human. He's invented the idea of human. Not just Renaissance man, but this human person comes from Shakespeare. These three-dimensional beings. I have a book called Will in the World by Stephen Greenblatt. I have John Berryman's Berryman Shakespeare. I have a book called Filthy Shakespeare, where Pauline Kiernan just talks about all the dirty jokes in Shakespeare. I have Shakespeare's sonnets. I have Marjorie Garber's Shakespeare After All as a Harvard professor, just taking a look at all of the stuff that makes this guy worth studying play by play and blow by blow. And that's amazing. But then I move over to my next shelf right over here. And I see V for Vendetta by Alan Moore and David Lloyd. I see Batman, Last Night on Earth by Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. I see Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, published by Random House. I see two or three biographies here about Walt Disney. And now I start to look at books and I'm like, wait a minute. Do each of these things have something to teach us about the human condition as well? Is there something about what we know to be human and what we know to be a hero from stories like Batman and Superman, V for Vendetta? Talk about a political system that needs to be upended and upheavaled. Could you watch DVDs or streaming versions of movies and learn the original horror movie in a different way? Could you watch a docuseries by Walt Disney about Imagineering and learn about how to design things and fascinate you just as well as I can look right next to that and see, oh, and that's the thing about, what's this? The Irish hunger strikes in the H blocks in the 1980s. And this is the story of 10 men dead in the 1981 hunger strikes when the IRA was blowing things up and finding themselves on the wrong end of prison systems. So they decided to starve themselves to prove a point about who they are and what they stand for, and moving away from the sectarian violence to this time where occupation of Northern Ireland by the British starts to raise larger conversations about what does it mean to be a good person? What does it mean to be a revolutionary? How is 10 men dead any bigger and better and worse or more limited than V for Vendetta? Both of the stories about political protest and political unrest. True, one is set in a fictional universe and one is set in a real universe, but how's that any different than William Shakespeare, who talked about Brutus and Cassius and Casca taking arms against the sea of troubles that is presented to them by our hero or our villain, Julius Caesar? Isn't that cool? All of these things kind of tie together, and I think this is really beautiful and really scary because change is the opportunity to do something amazing. And when I see stuff like Oh, the Places You'll Go by Dr. Seuss, or these stories by Walt Disney, I'm like, well, let's just dream it up. What could this be? If you go back to school, would you go back to school in 2020, 2021 that did it the exact same way it was done before that? Are you training your kids for jobs like, I don't know, factory workers? Because most of those factory jobs that were existing in the 1800s and the 1900s now give way to automation. We're not working assembly lines the same way. That doesn't mean that there's not jobs and merit to be had in factories. There absolutely is. But do we want our students to be on the front lines moving their hands in those machines or behind the scenes programming those machines so that we can get that efficiency and that speed done in a way that still recognizes their humanity and the things that they bring to the table? Now we talk about the ability to change the world, whether it's political upheaval, or a personal upheaval or a dreaming upheaval. And I look at books on my shelves like The Road by Cormac McCarthy. It's a post-apocalyptic future about a world where the whole system had to reset. We don't know why. There's either a pandemic or a nuclear holocaust or some sort of nuclear winter. And it seems like there's cannibals and there's people who are betraying each other and trying to eat each other and kill each other. But then next to it, I see Alias Grace by Margaret Atwood. And then I see The Giver by Lois Lowry. I'm like, whoa, these are all dystopian pieces about how do we rebuild the world? Because all these attempts to build the perfect world end up going in a totally different direction. I see Teaching Land by Amanda Fox, and I look, and I can't help but laugh at this because Mary Ellen Weeks and Amanda Fox wrote this book called Teaching Land, a teacher's survival guide to the classroom apocalypse. What happens when we rebuild a society like a zombie movie, Zombieland? Their Teaching Land book comes that same way. And that's right next to books like What School Could Be. Is that Ted Dintersmith? Is that his name? Yep. It's like, well, here we go, man. We could do whatever we want to. On my shelf, that's right next to the annotated Wizard of Oz, The Oz Chronicles, L. Frank Baum. Literally building a world from scratch. We can do whatever we want to. And I'm like, I'm almost humbled by this. It's so beautiful because we could do whatever it makes sense to do. We don't have to do what has always been done. I think this is really important. And I'm not trying to be like aspirational, hippy-dippy pie in the sky. Like, I happen to come from a Catholic faith background, and there on my shelf, I also see stuff like the New American Bible, the Catechism of the Catholic Church, a biography of Dorothy Day, and like a whole bunch of pieces from the Catholic theologians and people who I respect. You don't have to be Catholic. But for me, that's why I teach. I teach in a Catholic school because I believe in this inherent dignity of the human person. I believe in the idea that my church and my faith has some guiding principles that even if I'm frustrated by them, there's something mystical. It's very sacrilegious to say it, but like magical about them. And I walk away saying, I can be a better person and I can help my students be better kids. I can help them be better learners, better husbands, better wives, better moms, better dads, better brothers, better sisters. I look next to those things on my shelf and I see Tara Westover's book, Educated. I look at a book called Nightmare Factories, which is about the fascination about the American imagination with asylum. And like the idea of what mental health facilities have looked like. I have books on books on books about these scary places and these dark places and these twisted places. These places like that come up in the Southern Gothic, which is that everybody is institutionalized and then sort of trapped. And there's these existential dilemmas. I have copies of The Stranger by Camus and Waiting for Godot by Samuel Beckett. These existential wastelands where it's like, what's the point of any of this stuff, man? And it's not just navel-gazing. It's to look at what schools could be, what education could be. And if green means go and go back to school, does that mean we go back to school the same way it always was? Does that mean we give grades the same way we always gave grades? Does that mean we give assignments with the same fixed deadline for every single kid? Did you learn in this time away, hey, wow, some of my kids don't have access to the internet. That's got to be really hard to write an essay. Yep. Do you have some of your students who are working every day and you're like, hey, they have a really hard time keeping pace with it. You know what? I can give them a day here or there. And the world doesn't end. We don't fall into this apocalyptic wasteland. It's okay. Hey, if these kids' hearts are in the right place, we can get their heads and we can get their hands to follow. But you know what? For some of these kids, we have to spend a little bit more time in contact with them versus dumping content on them. Okay. Well, damn it. Then why in the heck are we doing school the same way we always did school? Because school was designed at a different time for a very different purpose. I look at this and I cite, you know, George Koros' The Innovator's Mindset. I refer to this book like 5 times a week. Change the opportunity to do something amazing. Here we go. We have the chance when we come back to school to innovate. Maybe that means bringing in brand new books to the curriculum. I think it's fascinating to think that Batman could be side by side with William Shakespeare in a world that says you can learn from a comic book just as much as you can learn from a classic book of the Elizabethan text. That's amazing. That's eye-opening. How powerful. How strong. And how validating to our students who say, look, I can never write Shakespeare. I can never really understand that stuff. But I get Iron Man. I get X-Men. I understand what it means to be Black Widow or Spider-Man or Miles Morales or Catwoman or Superwoman. You're like, okay, so let's talk about it. What about these things make you want to be heroic? What makes you want to stand up for these causes about justice, about, you know, be more empathetic, be more aware, be more kind? Or maybe you just want to do dumb stuff, like watch things that have nothing to do with any of this stuff. And what is the beauty and the value of being able to just relax and have leisure and have time where you're like, hey, we don't have to take ourselves so darn seriously in our schools. This is not to be hippy-dippy. This is to talk about if you operate under this principle that change is the opportunity to do something amazing in a blue sky world, does your literature class suddenly become, hey, let's just talk about what it means to be human. That's awesome. Let's just talk about it, and as much as we can, let's find the things that make you feel alive. Bring in these crazy, disparate things from all corners of the globe, like, Dorothy, we're not in Kansas anymore. Yeah, we're not. You can do whatever you want when we go back into school. There's nothing to say that we have to do it the way that it was. And we can do things like innovate and change on the heels of where the coronavirus has taken us to say, hey, we have to be more equitable. We have to get more voices in the conversation. I have this whole area of my section here. I'm looking at poems by Langston Hughes. Why are we not teaching poems by Langston Hughes in every class? Why are we not teaching the literary merits of the Great Gatsby, which I have sitting here right next to Their Eyes Are Watching God by Zora Neale Hurston? Why have we said that Huckleberry Finn is the single book of the American literature canon, but here I have next to that The Hate U Give can't be paired with that or in place of that? If they're both coming-of-age stories about working against a society that's rooted in racism, there's no reason to believe we can't do these things. And again, I'm not trying to be political. I'm just trying to talk about what I'm seeing when I'm looking at my shelves. If I get to go back to school, these are the books that I have here in my house. What if those books made their way into my classroom? What if that pedagogy, that philosophy, that existential understanding, that theology that sort of underpins and undergirds who I am, what if that was my day-to-day? And you can hear it in my voice, I hope. Like, how much more would I want to come to school if I could talk about what I loved? Well, how much more would our kids want to come back to school if we could talk about what they loved? Because on the shelves underneath that, I have all my board games, and I want to play board games with kids, and I want to connect with kids. And if this was all a bad dream, and we can wake up, and we're allowed to share materials and pass Legos back and forth, hey, guys, let's build what a cool school would look like for you. But build that out of Legos, and then tell me how and why you would build those features and those functionalities in. I think that's amazing. That has the chance to just dream up anything we wanted schools to be. And if we go back and we're green and we're excited, and I've done podcasts every single day of this stupid shutdown, every school day, I just want to be back with my kids. Like, what can we do so we go back in a way that makes them say, I'm so glad we're back, because this will never be what it was. It could be something really, really amazing, really empowering, really equitable, really exciting, and really world-changing. So those are my thoughts for the day. God bless you. Stay safe. I hope all is well. I hope you are healthy. Have a great weekend. Have a great Memorial Day. A nice long weekend. We'll be back next week. I think we have two episodes next week because I only have 2 days of school. We have a graduation. We have a Memorial Day holiday. And I have a teacher PD. And then we are officially done with our regularly scheduled school year. But I will be popping on and off, not just on Mondays, but every now and again through the summer as we figure out what the heck we're doing. God bless you all. Stay safe if you listen this long. If you like, feel free to subscribe, leave a comment, or hit me up on Twitter at @MeehanEDU. I appreciate you tuning in for a long one today. Be well, and I'll see you next time. Thanks again.